enjoyed the ladies' song, didn't you? That was beautiful. And JC, thank you for playing. And Sherry and Kathy and all you do, Brother Mark, and leading our worship in song. Would you please turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's read there verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 7. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want us to think about two questions this morning as we embrace this wonderful subject of the infinite intercessor. Of course, you know the Word of God is talking about Jesus Christ. He is the only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I want you to remember too that Jesus will always, since the incarnation, be a man. He is in heaven right now, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. That's what he's doing right now. He did not go to heaven to take a break. He did not go there in retirement. We have a living Savior, and because he lives, we live also. If you're a Christian, if you've been born of God and saved by his grace, Jesus is praying for you right now. No, it's not the kind of prayers that we pray for one another, intercessory prayer, though that is so important and taught in the scriptures. But Jesus prays on our behalf. He has the righteousness that we don't have when we pray for one another. Christ has the righteousness, and he can pull the strings with God for us that we can't do for one another. You see, we don't have to go to a priest to pray to God. We don't. And when you ask me to pray for you, I will do it, and I will ask you for me. But I want you to remember, I have no more pull with God than you do. But Jesus does. We don't pray to the saints because they're closer to God. That is actually dangerous. Because what it does is imply that we don't depend on Christ as our intercessor. But the two questions I want us to come about this morning, and I think is vital to us as believers, that is, how can we be restored to fellowship with God when we've fallen away from him? In other words, when we sin, and we do, don't tell me you don't. If you say you're not a sinner, God says you're a liar. But when we sin, how are we going to get back to God? We have an intercessor. That's how. You see, Jesus not only died for us, he rose again. God does not forgive us because we confess our sins. He forgives us because Christ died for us on the cross. But I want us to think about also How can sin be forgiven? I think sometimes we think it's just by default. We think, well, maybe just God is such a good God. He loves us so much that he's just going to forget about it. No, he can't do it. For he's holy. He's just. God can't forgive us without Christ. That's why Jesus Christ is a must. That's why he is the only way we can go to God. By him, and only by him, we can go to the Father. But what a blessing that is. I don't think we realize the benefits of the inheritance that we have in Christ as believers. I really don't. The psalmist says in Psalms 103, Oh, my soul, forget not all thy benefits. That he heals all our diseases. And then he cleanses us the way he does. What a blessing. What a joy. I want to talk about that this morning. As we consider Jesus Christ, not only as our Savior, but as our intercessor. Sure, the work on the cross was finished. He said that himself. But he ever liveth to make intercession for us. It's kind of like this in creation. God created, but he didn't walk away from his creation. If he did, this world could not exist. Every molecule is held by the sovereign, omnipotent power of God right in its place. If the tilt of the earth swayed 1 degree, either way, we would either burn up or freeze to death. God sustains us. He sends the water and he feeds the little birds and the sunshine and all that he does and the crops, and he sustains his creation. But I want you to know he also does his new creation. And we ought to appreciate that more than we do. I believe we would if we really realized how bad we really are compared to God. Do not try to compare yourselves to one another or anybody else, because God is the plumb line, and that is perfect righteousness, and that's what Christ intercedes for, because that's the only way God will put up with us. You know, I used to wonder, I imagine you have too, why God would have anything to do with me anyway. I've actually said that to him in prayers. But I was studying this week about the intercessor, and now I know why. Because Jesus is interceding. Because Jesus is coming before God in my place and in your place. And he says, I have died for him or for her. Now, he doesn't have to beg God to forgive us when he does that. For God is a God of love. But he is not going to wink at sin. He is not going to put up with it. He's not going to take any excuse that you and I have. He's not going to say, well, you just did the best you can do. No, what God is going to say is, you have died for them, haven't you? Jesus pleads that. And on that basis, on the basis of Christ's death on the cross and his shed blood and his resurrection, which seals the deal that our sins are paid for, God says, they are mine. And you are God's. So Christ not only saves us, he keeps us saved. Do you remember that? Because there's nothing worse than a believer to be out of fellowship with God. That is the midnight hour. Now, God hardly ever, ever, that I see, keeps his people out of trials, heartbreaks and hurts, persecution. But what he does, he sustains us in them. So please, quit praying that God will take away your problems. That God will change the circumstances the way you want it. You pray for the strength of God's Holy Spirit. Because that is your testimony. That is where you're going to celebrate the resurrection. That is where you're going to appreciate the intercessory work of Jesus Christ. Now you know we also have the Holy Spirit that intercedes. He intercedes in us, for you have the Holy Spirit in you. Whereas Christ intercedes for you on God's behalf. Now it's not exactly like it, but I remember when I was just maybe a teenager, I had my first real job, and I remember I had an uncle that had this worked for this company, and they were a construction company, but they really thought a lot of my uncle. And so my uncle said one time in a family together, says, Randy, I'm going to talk to, and he named his boss. He says, if you want a job, says, I'm going to talk to him. And I want you to call him next week. And I remember doing that. I had confidence in it. Why? Because my uncle is going to talk to him first. Well, when I mean that, it's not again exactly like it, but because Jesus is praying for us, we can talk to God. We can. And we ought to. I mean, this message, if I don't say anything else, what I want you to see from this word is you ought to have the confidence. You ought to have the motivation to serve God and to go ahead and press on to the higher calling of Christ in your life right now as you've never done before. And the reason is, Jesus is praying for you. You talk about the power of prayer? It's there, but I'm going to tell you what. Think about the omnipotent one that created the universe praying for you. Charles Wesley does a hymn. I wish it was in our books. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. Thy bloody sacrifice in my stead appears. Before thy throne my surety stands. My name is written in his hands. Now one day, you and I will give an account to every word we speak. You understand that? You could say, well, I'm an elect. You can say that God is predestined. Now, that's true. But you and I will give an account. And I want you to know that every word you said and I've said and thought that we thought is on tape. And it's going to play before God. Now, what are you going to do about it? It's there. Do you need somebody to stand in your stead? Do you need a divine defense attorney? I do. I don't have nothing to stand on if I don't. But I do. And you do. And that's what Jesus is about. That's his intercessory work. That's what he does. Now, if you raise cattle, there's four words that will be the most discouraging words you can ever hear. That can take joy out of your profession. Those four words are, your cows are out. I heard those this past week. One of my neighbors called me and says, Randy or Mr. Randy, where are you? That was enough to know something that might not be good was coming. You know what God said to Adam? When he was hiding from him, he says, wherefore art thou? Where are you, Adam? Where are you today in your walk with God? And when that man called me and says, where are you? Are you at home? I said, no, but I can be. He said, your cows are out. You ever had that, Brother Wayne? Brother Chap told me his got out the next day. It's amazing. You know where they got out? The gate. The gate was open. But I remember, it's a family effort when your cows get out. And I remember we got them rounded. I mean, they'd cross the road. I mean, they didn't know. I mean, we're kind of like that in a way. The gate was open. It sounds like that'd be all right to come out a gate that's open. You know, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof leads to destruction, the Bible says. Just because the world presents you something that might be all right, don't you fall for it. But I remember we got them back in. Makes me tense when they're out. Makes me tense when I'm out of fellowship with God, too. How about you? But I remember Sarah and Philip and even little John Bennett came and Emory and Jackson, they wanted to help. And I had probably too much tension going on to really take the time I needed with them. But I did catch one thing my 6-year-old granddaughter said in the aftermath of the chaos of that ordeal. Emory Grace said, Mama, that's what I like about living on the farm. There's always something to fix. And I'm going to tell you what. We need to see Jesus as our intercessor. Because there's always something that needs fixing in our lives. You understand that? You're not in heaven yet. You see, we're a work in progress. That's why Jesus is just not gone up to heaven to take a vacation. He knows there's always something to fix. Now, Lamar Lanier is going to have his heart fixed because it's broken this morning. But you know, God can do that. There's marriages that are broken and relationships, but that's what God is about. Now, he doesn't do that on the cross, though you have to go there first. He does that in his intercessory work to his heavenly Father for you and me. And we need to thank him, because I'm going to tell you, as believers, we are high maintenance. You hear me? We can stray so easily from God. Not only that, now, this is why we need this advocate, Christ. Because the devil is the accuser. He will remind you of every sin you've ever committed. Again, you ought not to do it, and I ought not. But the truth is, you do. 1 John 2 says in the first verse, "My little children, I would have you sin not." He's not talking about the heathen in the world. He's talking about his people, God's people, you and me. He says, "I would have you sin not." Don't do it. Do all you can not to, but if you do, you have an advocate. You have an intermediator. You have an intercessor. The man, Christ Jesus, with scars in his hands and in his side. You see, God did something about sin. And we ought to do something about sin. We ought to confess it. We ought to turn from it. And if we don't, God will chasten us. He will. I know. But he loved those he chastens. He does. You stay with him because he'll never leave you. The thing is, we need to realize the importance of his intercessory work. Now, I want to say three things in just a few minutes about the intercessor that we have, Jesus. First of all, there's no other religion that deals with sin with an infinite intercessor than the Christian religion. I am told that you can go to the grave of Mohammed. Jesus' tomb was empty. There's a big difference. You see, his intercessory work is based on his death and his resurrection. Good Friday was dark, but Easter's coming. See? You ever felt like you've just gone too far? I mean, you've just sinned too much. No, you haven't gone far enough. You need to go all the way to the cross. That's why you get to the cross is where most Christians leave off following Jesus. But if you're a follower of Christ, you go to the cross and you know that he's praying for you because he's been to the cross. But he didn't stay there. He did what God told him to do there. He did it because he loves you and because it was necessary. But not only does Christ save us by his grace, he sustains us. And that's what I want to get across. Because there's a real good chance you or I might slip and slide and fall from his fellowship even before the sun sets today. Now, I know you're good people. I love and appreciate every one of you. You're inspiring to me. But I'm going to tell you what. We're sinners. And we're weak. And we can't do this alone. Like Steve sung the other night, we can't even walk without him holding our hand. But he's got us. You know, he's praying for you. That ought to tell you how much he loves you. You pray for people you love, don't you? Yes, you do. God loves us. Jesus loves us. But he's made it like this. You will never leave this world the same way you came. You will be changed because prayer changes things, but what prayer changes is you. See, that's what the power of Christ is. Christ is praying for you, and you may be convicted because of it. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. What is that? I was going to try to say three things from our text. Notice in verse 23, and they truly were many priests. First of all, I want you to see the intercessor, the infinity of our intercessor, Christ, is unchanging. See, the Old Testament priesthood never saved anybody. But it's not all that bad. What it did is, you know, it pointed to Christ, the infinite intercessor. But see, they kept dying. Why? Because they were sinners. See, the preacher can't save you. You know why? Because I'm a sinner too. You understand that? See, if I can't swim and you jump off the bridge and I jump in to save you, you know what's going to happen? We're going to both drown. We both will drown. But see, we have a Savior who is the head of the church. They'll never drown. We have a foundation in Christ, and it's unchanging. Notice, the priesthood of Christ is unchanging. He's eternal. The Old Testament priest kept changing, but not Jesus. That's important for us to know. We have an unchanging priesthood. Well, we might get older and all that, but I'm going to tell you what, that we have a high priest that is prophet, priest, and king, Christ, that is there. He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. And no matter how low we go, we can know that he's praying for us. And he's praying for us on the basis not of what we've done or not done, but on what he's done. See, that's the difference in Christ's intercessory prayers and you and I praying for one another. But it says there were many, but they died. But this man Jesus, we need to rediscover the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and just what it meant to understand that he come from heaven, virgin born, sinless in his body, appointed by God just for that, to die for us, to live perfectly and to die for us, shed his blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And then to give his righteousness to us, to go before God, stay before God. You know, the Bible says that he's seated at the right hand of God. I found there's 10 places in the New Testament where Jesus is seated. There's one place that I found where he's standing. And that's when Stephen was stoned. And Jesus stood. Did he go get him? No. He didn't go get him. But what he was implying, I believe, by his standing, was saying, look, you coming home to me. I'm waiting. I'm going to be here for you. And that's what a steadfast, faithful Savior does. He intercedes for us. He encourages us. He doesn't always take all the pain away, though. But I tell you what he does. He does it. He gives us sufficient grace. You see, when Jesus promises in Philippians that he provides all our needs, you know how he does that? He prays. That's what we need. That's all we need. All we need is Jesus. You think you need all so many other things. You don't need anything but Jesus. You see, that's what he's your prayer, his intercessor. I don't know if the choir knew what I guess they knew my subject, but that song, The Gentle Shepherd, lead us. You understand that in the Old Testament, and I've said this before and probably lots of other people have, the most profound statement I know of is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now that is his present tense. See, Jesus is a shepherd right now. And when he says in John 10, no one will pluck them out of my hand, he means it. Why? Because he's interceding. See, God's in control of all this. You know why you're not condemned? Because of Christ's intercession. Romans 8, 1, there's no condemnation in them that love him, that believe him. See, all our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, because we have an infinite intercessor. This love is the same way. It's not ever going to diminish. It's not going to love you more or less because you've sinned this, that, and that, or hadn't done that. It's going to stay. God is steady because he's God, infinite, immortal, holy, just, right. I just want you to be reminded, you have an infinite intercessor. Don't let Satan, don't you get that guilt. You know, there's a lot of God's people, I believe, that would not go to church because they don't feel like they're good enough. Well, I want you to know this, you're not good enough to do anything, but you can't base on what you're good at. You got to base it on the goodness of God that he's given you. And the devil would have us have no other way than to keep God's people out of church. Do you have an infinite intercessor? Notice how far his salvation goes. How deep is God's salvation? He says to the uttermost. You know what that means? That's complete. That means in every way. That means that for the believer, for a child of God, you cannot sin your life so much that you can't be restored to fellowship because of your intercessor, Jesus Christ. Man, I like that a lot. Don't you? I mean, the uttermost. So we have an infinite intercessor, advocate, mediator, appointed by God, that goes between us and says those things to God that we can't say and restores us when we don't even feel like we can be. See, God's unseen hand is way more active than we know. See, there's a lot more going on in this church than sitting in the pews that you can see. There's a lot of unseen things. The unseen hand of God. You know what's happening? That's the intercessory work of Jesus Christ. He is there. He saves us to the uttermost because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's why he's alive. That's what he's doing. We can rejoice in him. Thank God for him. Pray. Be thankful for one another in ways we had never imagined we could be. Because I can tell you that Jesus is interceding also for people we don't even know and may not even like. But he's bringing it all together for the purpose of unity. You know, one time, I shared this with you, I know several years ago, we went to, I was doing forestry then. I was not preaching, but we went to Nashville, Tennessee, and I had a continuing education course that was taught there at the Grand Ole Opry Hotel. I mean, that's a pretty swanky place. It was then. This was years ago. But so Penny and I think Sarah, maybe Jennifer was little, went with us. And I remember going to that place, and I got up in the morning to go to the class, and they had this buffet, this breakfast. I mean, it was a bunch of food, and I like to eat that kind of food, and I eat a lot. But I mean, way back then, it was like $15. So I decided the next morning, I said, I couldn't eat all that anyway, so I just got some cereal and some juice and some fruit. And I went to pay, and the lady said that'd be $15. I said, wait a minute, I only had fruit and cereal and juice and a cup of coffee. She said, I know, sir. I said, that's okay. She said, but I just want you to know it's all one price. I think we get into that sometime in Christ, our intercessor. See, I want you to know today that not only did Jesus die for you, he's interceding for you. The price has already been paid. What you and I need to do is go out of here and enjoy God. Don't you get locked up in religion. What you need to understand is Satan will try to take your fellowship away. He did that to Job and Peter and so many more, and he will do it to you and me. And he's pretty good at it. But we have an intercessor. And when he does, the devil does, you tell him, my older brother is my epic. Jesus died for me. And I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He will shut up. He will not say another word. Because the power of the intercessor, those evil spirits in one case, remember, jumped in a bunch of hogs and went in the ocean. What a blessing to know we have an infinite intercessor. Now, tonight, I'm going to try to deal with some of the ways what he's intercessing for. What is he pleading to God for? And I think we'll find a lot of that in John 17, which is an intercessory prayer that Christ made to his heavenly Father. But thank you for listening. And I do pray that if you ever wonder how you can be restored, don't think it's going to be because you just got to quit sinning. Or you just got to do this, that. I got to join the church, or I got to do. And all those might be a part of it. But the main deal is that Christ is interceding for you. It's not based on your performance, but on his. So you need to go to that buffet and get you a big heaping of that. You hear me? Because it's all there. Now you can go to heaven miserable if you want to. You can go having pity parties. You can go pouting and ashamed of what's happened in your life or what somebody's done to you or what you haven't done. But you go to God with it. You take it to the cross and you know that Jesus is still there and he's pleading for you. He's praying for you. I'm not making this up. It's right here. May the Lord bless you and me to rejoice as we never have before. This is where we need a spiritual reset. You know, sometimes in the computer, not that I know a lot about them, but I just have to get so frustrated, I have to just turn it off and let it reboot. That's what we got to do. But every time it comes back on, that power is going to come from Christ being our intercessor. He will sustain us. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for being our intercessor. Thank you, Lord, for making us worthy, because we know we're not unless you do it. Yet, Lord, never let us forget why you have saved us in the first place. Not that, Lord, we won't sin, but rather that we'll glorify you. That we, Lord, yet sin, but what a blessing to feel the freeness of forgiveness and glorify you in it. It is true, Lord. We'll never know what freedom from sin is until we fell in it, been bound by it, and then we've been freed again from it. Thank you, Lord, for your continuous intercession, for not ever giving up on us, and help us never to give up on each other because of that power of grace that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.